We'll be mainly in Mark 4 and Mark 6 this morning. It's the second person that's asked me to pray for their backs this morning. Billy was one. Christine is another. Billy had an accident. Christine had an accident. I won't say how many years ago, but it's been a minute. And that accident still bothers her. So will you just stretch your hand towards my wife right now? Lord, I just pray over my wife that you'll just give her a relief from this pain in Jesus' name, so that she's not robbed of anything that you have for her today. Thank you, God, because you meet our needs. You touch us. And help our eyes to always be fixed on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Love you, too. Thank you, guys. You know, last week was a tough one for me. I had to be away just like that. My best man, my college roommate, passed away two Thursdays ago. I was with him right before he passed. He passed away down in Florence, South Carolina. He passed away 30 minutes after I left him. I've never seen anybody struggle that bad in my life. I've seen a lot of people die, unfortunately. It's kind of just in the territory that I live in. And while most of the time it's a good place to be, it's a fun place to be, there are times when it's not. And being in the room with someone as they leave this earth, it can actually be a peaceful time, but sometimes it's not. And his was the most struggle I've ever seen in my life. He's 57 years old. I'm 57 years old. My dad passed away when he was 57 years old. This is my surreal year. Miss Shirley was talking to me about a friend that she's had. Her friendship goes back 57 years. Ask me if I'm using Heinz 57 today. No. I'm done with 57s. But this is my year that it's a very surreal year for me. But even so much the more, there's a scripture, Isaiah 26 and 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." That's a place that we're supposed to be. That's a place where our mind is supposed to be. Our mind, I don't know about yours, but mine is pretty active. Maybe it's because my brain matter is just so small that it just bounces around from place to place in there. But the Bible gives us things to think on. It does. "Whatsoever things are good, lovely, of a good report, think on these things." You know, there's a whole list there. If it has any value, if anything's praiseworthy, think on these things. So it tells us to focus on our mind, because your mind is reaches for something to think about. It likes being active. Does anybody ever have a hard time going to sleep because you can't turn your brain off? It's not because your body's not tired. I have been dog tired. That's another level past as tired as you can get, dog tired. That's another level we don't talk about much, but I've been dog tired before. But my brain won't quit. And I'm like, why can't I sleep? I'm exhausted and I can't sleep, because that's the last thing to turn off. So it's always searching for something to think about. So he gives us something to think about. Do you know that this microphone, y'all know every now and again you'll hear these microphones feedback? I can make it feedback if y'all want me to. There's a way I can do it. If I put this into that, y'all will be mad at me if I did that. So I won't. Some of you have heard it way too many times in your lifetime. It's worse than fingernails on a chalkboard. But it's because this mic is searching for something to go into it, and then if you do the wrong thing, it will feed back. Well, our brain is like that too. It's always searching for information, and if we don't feed it the right thing, we'll be in trouble. And thus this scripture right here, Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep He, God, will keep in perfect peace. That sounds really good to me right about now. Perfect peace. I need some perfect peace in my mind. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So he's saying, position your mind. Bring your mind into order. You want peace in your life? Bring it into order by trusting and letting your mind be stayed on him. It's a fixed position that he calls for. So I'm going to talk to you about a scripture. You know, we've dealt with Proverbs the first part of this year, and I've got a couple scriptures that I might bring back into that, but it's the wisdom book. It's got so much to do with one of its names is the Book of Wisdom. The wisdom of Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, and his writings and his saying. Solomon wrote just about all of it, except for the last couple of chapters. But it is so easy for our minds to be drawn away. And we have more, I'm going to be nice and call it fodder. We have more fodder out there that will compete for our mind space if we're not careful. Don't freely give that away. Your thoughts, your thought processing is so valuable to who you are. And it really, is such competition for even your thoughts, for even your thinking. And the enemy puts plenty of fodder out there for us to pull us away from where we really need to be. Perfect peace will come to those whose mind is stayed on him. That's actually very instructional inside of that. But I'm going to talk to you about a couple of times when Jesus' own disciples, they lost it. They got scared to death. And they began to do what people do. And the truth is, we have more than one example of the same thing. We have the first example, like when something happens the first time in your life, I'll give you a pass. I can't tell you how you'll respond. But if it happens again, I expect, and I'll say this, expect it from me. If something happens once in my life, have grace for me, have mercy. But if the same thing happens again, have an expectation of what I should do. I think that's fair. Do you think that's fair? And next, if it happens once, amen. I don't know. I've never done it. It's your first time. You get to have your response. But if it happens a second time, hey, what did you not learn from first time? Right? I want to say I learned from other people's mistakes, but I definitely want to say I learned from my own mistakes. Right? I don't want to be that dumb. I don't. So here we are. We find ourselves right here in Mark. Let's look at 4. Let's start there. It's a good place to start. Say 12. Just say the number 12. Now say this, miracle 12. So I say miracle number 12. Somebody took the time to write out 37 miracles of Jesus and put it into a chronological order. And we find ourselves at miracle number 12. It'll make sense in a minute. Chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. So Jesus, he had been preaching in parables. He had met with his disciples on the side, and they said, "Why are you doing that? We don't understand what you're talking about." And then he says, explain it to us. So he explained it to them, but then he wouldn't teach anything else unless he did it with a parable. So that's what has just got through taking place. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." I know y'all know this story. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat. So in other words, the water, the storm was so bad that the water was coming over into the boat, so that it was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Miracle number 12. Y'all just heard it. Miracle number 12. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? So there was, they woke Jesus up. He did what only Jesus could do. He rebuked the wind. The wind was against them. The storm came because the wind was against them. They were just doing what he said to do. We're going to go to the other side. We're going to cross over to the other side. Now, if they would have taken him at face value for what he said, they would have come to the conclusion, we might die on the bank, but we won't die out here. We might die on the other side, but we won't die till we get to the other side, because Jesus said, let's go to the other side. So that was at least a complete insurance package in place until they got to the other side. Does that make sense to you? How many times do we take a promise from God and we fall apart? It was Jesus. They had learned enough about him. Look, they had been through 11 miracles. This is miracle number 12. They were eyewitnesses of 11 previous miracles. Yet miracle number 12 messed them up. And Jesus was in the boat. And they had enough sense to wake him up and say, Don't you care? You ever felt like you needed to wake Jesus up? You know how ridiculous that is? More ridiculous than it even feels right now. But we treat him that way. And they did too. So, okay, let's give them a pass right there, okay? Even though they saw 11 miracles, and this was miracle number 12, let's give them a pass, because they'd been through a lot, but they hadn't been through that. And the water was coming over, and it was a great storm, and they thought that they were going to die. And Jesus fixed it for them. But then he said something. He gave them an incredible warning, because he said to them, Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? That word fearful actually means afraid, but not just afraid. Why are you so cowardly? The most intense meaning of it is cowardly. Why are you so cowardly? Why are you so timid? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? So they were cowardly, but when they saw his miracle, it said they feared exceedingly. But to translate that, that actually meant that they were struck with amazement. Then it came back to them. We've seen him do 11 other miracles, and on this one, he just rebuked the wind. Who is this? But right before they were struck with amazement, they were cowardly. Can I tell you that he's not called us to be cowardly? Can I tell you that there is a warning? Eric, bring up 21:8. Alan, I appreciate you. You're learning it back there. Some of you guys are joining the team and learning it. So, Alan and Eric, if y'all will find Revelation 21:8 with me. Am I giving? Yeah, 21:8. Because I want you to see something, that there is a list. And he said, Why are you so fearful? This is not just him questioning them. This is actually a warning. Because in 21, it says this, but the cowardly, Revelation 21:8, he gives this list, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So take it back to the very beginning of that. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderous, sexual, the list is it's a terrible list. But to top the list is the cowardly. So I believe that he always gives an order to things. It's almost like it doesn't fit, but actually it tops the list to be cowardly. And that's the context. As you look this up, if you had the study helps that I had to look this thing up, you would find out that the reference point for that scripture goes right to 21:8 in Revelation. And that's what he's saying. There is a thing that tops the list, and don't be that. And he called him out. Why are you that? Why are you being cowardly? I'm right here with you. If I'm with you, don't worry about if I'm asleep. Don't worry about what you think I'm doing. Don't worry about what you think my state is. Do you know that right now where Jesus is at? Do you know that he's seated at the right hand of the Father? But you know what it says he's doing? Making intercession for you. He's praying for you right now. How many of you are going through things right now? You are. Raise your hand if you're going through something. Just wanted to be marked in the number. I don't want y'all to think that Pastor John, yeah, he's a pastor. He never has to go through anything. Let me just tell you. Yeah. So don't be afraid. Okay, now let's go over a couple chapters. Let's go to 6. Let's go to 6. Y'all remember miracle number 12, right? We just talked about miracle number 12. Let's move it up to miracle number 19. You ready for miracle number 19? You'll find it in 6 and 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both that they had done and what they had taught. And he said, let's go to, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Because they had been doing so much, he recognized they needed rest right now. Okay? So this great multitude comes along, and Jesus had compassion on them because they were hungry. It's when he feeds the 5,000, but if you realize that was only 5,000 men, that was possibly up to 20,000 if you talked about the women and the children that were there. And we get miracle number 19 right there. Jesus, he said, how many loaves have you got? How many fish have you got? And he took those and he multiplied them so much so that they, what is the word? It's a crazy word. Glutted. You know what gluttony is? Overdoing it. It said that they ate to their fill. They were all filled when they ate this meal. And as I looked that up, it said that they were glutted. They were glutted. They were so hungry that they overate. They ate and they ate and they ate. Like they weren't. It was either the best fish and bread they've ever had, or they were that starving. But they were glutted. They were full. And then there were 12 baskets that were filled afterwards. So I preached a sermon one time, and I think the best part of the sermon I preached was the title that I came up with. It's better than the sermon I preached, that there was a lesson in the leftovers. I said, man, that's a good sermon title right there. The lesson in the leftovers. I don't even know what I preached after that, but I got that title down that time. A lesson in the leftovers. But here Jesus has fed them so they're so full that they were glutted. They couldn't eat anymore. Have you ever been? Well, y'all look at me and tell I've been that way. Yeah, he finds that place a lot of times. So this was miracle number 19. So he blessed and broke the loaves and gave it to them. And they ate till they were completely filled. They took up 12 baskets after that. And then here comes miracle number 20. Say number 20. Number 20. So, I mean, miracles are rolling. We're just two chapters later, and we're already up to 20 miracles. Listen what it was. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat. Verse 45. So let's start at 44, so you know what immediately means. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Here comes miracle number 20. That was verse 44. Verse number 45. Immediately. You got that? He, Jesus, made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone. Jesus was alone on the land. The boat was out there in the middle of the sea. Now, he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Opportunity number two has arrived. This is just like it was the last time. Same thing. So now I expect a little different response. I feel like they should have learned something. Is that fair? Okay, so you feel like that too. Good. On the same page. He saw them straining and rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. So at nighttime they got out there. They were out there during the night, and the storm came up in the fourth watch. So the watches were there were four watches. They were broken up. It was to encapsulate the whole night. There were watches. They were 3 hours at a time. They were 3 hour shifts. They would be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. That'd be watch number one. Then from 9 p.m. to midnight, that'd be watch number two. Then from midnight to 3 a.m., that's watch number three. And the fourth watch, the last one before the sunrise comes, is actually the toughest watch, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. It's a lot of biblical significance to those hours that we won't get into, but they're significant. And Jesus saw them. He saw them raining. And they were straining at the oars. Another translation said they were straining at the oars. Okay? He saw them straining for the wind. The wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he said to them, walking on the sea. He came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. Would have passed them by. I love that. Even though I kind of hate it, but I love it. Because that's been my question before. I guess you're just going to pass me by right here, Jesus, right? And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, but immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed. See, the amazement came on, amazing themselves beyond measure and marveled. I mean, here we are finally at miracle number 20. And on the 20th miracle, they are so greatly amazed that it is beyond marveling. It's beyond any act that they've paid back as far as awe and astonishment. They were just, wow. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. So beyond measure meant all 20 miracles, all 19 miracles before didn't have the impact that this one did. Then this just went. For they had not understood about the loaves because their hearts were hardened. Very important. They had not understood that. You could have said, "John, you've been preaching a long time. Figure this one out. Why didn't they have faith? Or why didn't they? What was wrong with them that they didn't see that miracle 12? Oh yeah, here comes a storm. Yeah, I remember miracle 12. Man, who could forget that? That you remember? We went from being cowardly. He said, "Don't be cowardly." He got onto us really hard there. And then he helped us out right there. And remember, we were like, wow. And now it just happened again, and we're like, wow. So So what happened, though? Well, Pastor John, what do you think happened? Why do you think? I'd have thought, man, just thinking about it, I'd think that, man, they're human like I am. They forget the last thing that Jesus done. They forget all the things that Jesus has done. But I'd be wrong, because it said what the problem was. It said it right there. For they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. Well, what about the loaves? What? But that's the answer. And I've really prayed about that. And I feel like God gave me something for you on that. But before we get there, let's do this. One night, a few years ago, we were deer hunting. Brent had shot a deer. And we tracked the deer all the way down to Fishing Creek. And we got to Fishing Creek, and there lay the deer on the other side of the bank. And it was just barely still with us. And it was so groggy over there, but it had been a couple hours after dark, and can't shoot a gun down here now. Somebody called the game warden on us. Let's go back. I had a kayak. I said, let's get a kayak. And let's go. Bring the kayak down here. Deer will be expired by then. Brent, your deer, you paddle across. You get your deer. And we'll be over here cheering you on, brother. We'll hold the lights for you. Didn't it happen about like that? See? So, Brent, come here. I want y'all to see what I saw that night. Brent, here, y'all, stand right here and face me. Stand right here and face me. So, there you go. There you go. So, Brent is in the kayak. He's gone to the other side. There lies the deer. Brent throws some rope over the deer's antlers, and he pulls it off the bank, and he turns, and he starts rowing. All of a sudden, that deer is a whole lot more alive than we realized. And Brent is straining at the oars. Come on, strain, Brent. And he's getting, see, Brent's strong. Look at them arms. Brent's a strong young chap. He's giving it all he's got. I remember. Actually, he's losing, because that deer starts swimming the other way like this. So the deer's going that way, and the water, like Brent's trying to go upstream too. And the deer's got something else. He's got an exit strategy on his mind. So here we got Brent straining at the oars, giving it all he's got. And he finally angles the boat over to the side. That deer goes up underneath that kayak. And until you've heard hooves on the bottom of a kayak, you don't know what I'm talking about. But Brent was like digging it in, and he was so tired, he was about done. So that was a good example of someone straining at the oars was that night. And not only was the flow against him, the deer was against him. And somehow or another, we got that worked out. Brent got his deer and got him home. So, Brent, just stand there. Billy, come here. See, Billy, when you come up here and you ask me to pray for you right in the middle, you just don't ever know. So Billy got into a little accident this just a few days ago. He's straining right now. He's in a little bit of pain. So what do I do? Exploit the pain and ask you to just stand right there. I just ask you, just get in line with Brent and get behind Brent. Brent, get up here. Come on. You're up here straining first. So Billy, start paddling. You're straining at the oars. I need somebody. Shirley, I was going to use you, but you just got better. Shirley, can you stand? Yeah, if you just hear, I'm not even going to make you do it, because she told me, you know, as her pastor, and y'all tell me that y'all are going through stuff. She told me something she was going through, so I said, I'm going to use Miss Shirley. And then she turned around and fell and hurt her wrist. So just kind of give it just a, give Miss Shirley a hand. So we're watching you strain at the oars, but we're cheering you on, sister. But here's the thing. Pastor John hears about this kind of stuff. And I guess sometimes y'all think, Pastor John, maybe you don't know that I got an oar too. Never enough. It's like your shoes, never enough. But I can hide mine. Because I'm the pastor. Y'all aren't supposed to see that I've got an oar too. But I see Brent in his life. I see Brent going through something, and he starts telling me about it. And he's confiding in me because he thinks I got faith. But sometimes what I hear, so Brent, you start. And then he doesn't know. I'm over here being faithful, but I'm over here. I start going too. He doesn't know. Pastor John needs to strain at the oars a little bit too, because my mind goes off of who can and gets stuck on what Brent's trying to do, and I'm cheering Brent on. Does that make sense? And then I think about Billy got in an accident, and I'm back here. Yeah.
Come on, let's go.
Yeah, let's go. And you think that I'm just, oh, Pastor John doesn't need an oar, and then Miss Shirley falls and gets hurt, and then she falls and hurts her wrist, and then I'm over here rowing and trying to help out. And the truth is, that's how our life looks. Every one of us, we get to straining at the oar, don't we? Yeah. Just lay your paddles down. You guys can just put your paddles down. Just put them right there. Do what? That's another story. I'll let y'all give it. Brent, you can give them your version later. My version was a lot of laughing. So let's tie it all together. Here we've got miracle number 12. Then we've got miracle number 19 and number 20 right behind each other. Miracle, miracle. But we had 12 as a reference point, but 12 wasn't mentioned in the 20th miracle, was it? Jesus did not say, don't y'all remember what I did back in 12? Don't y'all know that I've done 8 other miracles since then, including this one right here? I've done miracle, 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 miracle. He didn't talk about that. What he talked about was miracle 19. Why? Why? Miracle 19 is so important. Even though, to me, just telling you, doesn't line up, it doesn't make sense. What? We're straining at the oars, and he says, y'all, what about miracle 19? Remember the loaves and the fish? Your hearts got hardened because of the loaves and the fish. Now let's just break that down for just a second. The hardened heart, when it said, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. Let's just break that down. It said that hardened heart meant that their heart had become calloused and petrified. That word hardened, as a hardened heart, that meant that it was made hard. It was calloused. It was petrified. Now, some of you guys that play instruments, you play guitars, you've got calluses on your fingers, your fret fingers. I guarantee you got some big-time calluses over there. I guarantee you they're not like most people's calluses or fingers. My son plays the guitar. His fingers feel different because of what the strings did. And it took, now Walker's been playing about 3 years, and you've been playing a lot longer than that, but your fingers are tough and they're calloused But it took time to get that way. And I remember when he first started playing, he'd be like, oh, my fingers hurt. They even bleed sometimes. But then they got tough. Doug, you're a guitar. John, you guys know. Anybody's ever played? Anybody ever played? Just raise your hand if you ever played. Amanda, of course. Some of you ladies have played. Yep, Michaela, Logan. Yep. We got some guitarists in the house. So that callusing takes a little bit of time, right? Petrified. For something to become petrified, that can take, what, thousands of years, right? The point of that is that you remember that they were seeing these miracles and they were like, this is never... This is unbelievable. He speaks to the wind. But their hearts got calloused. And every time the calluses went away and they were back in the boat again and they were back where they needed to be. But I'm going to tell you, in what should take a long amount of time only took a little bit of time. And the shelf life wasn't even as long as the last miracle. Their heart condition had got hardened and calloused in almost that much time. Right? And it said, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. So, their hearts were in a condition that takes a long time to get there, except it didn't take a long time. It only took a little bit of time. So we've got we've got miracle number 20, preceded by miracle number 19, that is the reference point. Go back seven more miracles to miracle number 12, which was really just like miracle 20, except for in miracle 12, Jesus was in the boat with them. In miracle 20, Jesus was walking the sea. And if you'll follow that out and you'll look that back up to Matthew, you'll find that in that same, when they thought he was a ghost, you remember that? It said that they thought he was a ghost. If you look, that same story is recorded in Matthew, I think chapter 14 or 16. It's the same story, except it includes the part where Peter. It's the same setting. You read it, it's the same thing. It was just Peter's eyewitness to that. It's found in Matthew and recorded in Matthew. And that's when Jesus, when Peter, when they're saying it's a ghost, Peter said, Jesus, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus' answer to that is always come. That's the answer for you. He's always going. And then when Peter stepped out and walked on the water, I never could figure out why there wasn't just all these disciples out there on the water. Party time on the water. And they sat there and watched. And it said, Peter got his eyes on the wind, the waves, and began to sink. Jesus saved him again. And we get the ending of this story and the problems. And it goes back to miracle 19. Why? Why? Because they forgot what Jesus had just done. It's just that simple. It's not that profound. Jesus had just done a miracle and they forgot it. Just like that. They forgot it. And he called them out on it. You forgot what I just did. You forgot what I just did. You forgot what you just witnessed. You forgot what you saw me do. There is a message in that for us today. How can he get them to remember the last thing he will say if he can't get them to remember the last thing he did. The last thing he did, they saw it. But the last thing he said was something that they were going to have to take on faith. And you have to take it on faith. And I have to take it on faith. When Jesus finally got to the part where he had been telling them, this time is coming. I'm going to be lifted up. I'm going to die. We don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to die. I'm going to go away. We don't know what you're talking about. I go away, and where I go, you know. We don't know where you're going. We don't know what you're talking about. We don't get it at all. And then when he hangs on the cross, he says one last thing. It is finished. Do you know that word finished, it meant accomplished? It meant everything was accomplished. That's the last thing he said. The problem for us and the problem for them and why he was just being so pointed and direct with them, you're not believing the last thing I did. This is miracle number 20, but you're not even remembering miracle 19. You don't remember 12. That was so much like 20, but I'm not even going to talk about that. Let's just go to the last thing I did, 19. And I'm going to call that out. You don't remember the loaves and the fish because your hearts were hardened. This is the human condition. The human condition is such that he can do something right then. And our next step is we've already forgot it. It's almost like step number one after a miracle in the human condition is to forget everything that just happened so that I can go back to panic. And start paddling again. I feel more comfortable if I can just panic. Something about this paddle makes me feel like I'm in control a little bit. But here's the thing. I can't do this forever. I can't do this forever. And he knows I can't do this forever. So you know what the instruction for us is? Put the paddle down. Put the paddle down. Put the paddle down. It's your last point of control that you think you have when he's given us things to think. Whatsoever things, anything praiseworthy, anything of good report, think on these things. That's New Testament, Old Testament, Isaiah 26:3. He will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him. Put the paddle down. Put the paddle down. It goes against the human condition because he's going to continually do seen and unseen things in your life. That's who he is. Miracles happen today and you never even saw them. You pass this way from your place to this place and nothing bad happened and you made it. It's a miracle, but you don't recognize it. Your life will continue to be things that sometimes you'll see it and sometimes you won't see it. But if you're not careful, you'll race to pick the paddle up and start. And as your pastor, if I'm not careful, I'll get right in there with you. And y'all didn't see my little paddle. And I'm like, you thought that's funny, didn't you? Put the paddle down. Put the paddle down. Why? I've told people this, and I've seen encouragement come to them. Because the Lord gave me something to tell people a long time ago. And they seemed to find encouragement in this. They'd tell me what the situation was. I was like, I know, I was believing this, and time passed, and it didn't happen. And God gave me a word for people that felt like they had a promise a long time ago, but they weren't seeing it. Has that ever been you? You felt like God had said something a long time ago, but you hadn't seen it yet? And every now and again, God gives us something to help people along the way. And he gave me this. Go back to the last thing you know God said to you and stay there. Quit trying to get past that. Quit trying to abridge or whatever that's called. Rewrite the promise. Quit trying to make exception for the promise. Go back to the last thing you know God said or the last thing God did for you. And from that point, but I want to change that this morning. Because that's pretty good advice. That's pretty good advice for a man. And I felt some anointing when I told him that. But I feel the true anointing and revelation on it. Instead of the last thing he said to you, go back to the last thing he said at all. It is finished. Because there's a scripture that talks about crucifying him afresh. You know that? And you know that that's what we do whenever we start straining at the rows again, at the oars, we're actually crucifying him afresh because we're not accepting that what he said, it is finished. We're like, we need to put him back on the cross just for another minute so you can hear this thing, so you can work on this. And then, no, the answer to that is it is finished. Does not matter what we're going through. It is finished. Go back to the last thing Jesus said to us. It is finished. Walk in that peace. Put the paddle down. You don't need the paddle anymore. That's been nothing but a false sense of security for you all along. The paddle. Put it down. So, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for your miracles, God. I thank you for your many miracles. And I have to be honest and put myself right in the middle of this story. You've done so much for me, and I have been guilty of forgetting what you said to mankind. It is finished. It is accomplished. You've done everything that needs to be done. It's not just finished. It's fixed. We're in you now. Give us the faith to hold on so that we're not like the cowardly that top that list. Help us not to be cowardly, because our flesh will pull us right back into being cowardly. From the most physically built one in this room to the very weakest one in this room, does not matter. We can fall right into that cowardly category if we're not careful. God, help that to be flipped in our life, to be faithful instead of cowardly, to just go back to the last thing you said to mankind, it is finished, and help us to put the paddle down. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So you don't have to raise your hand. I'm just going to ask you right now. Anybody feel like you need to put the paddle down? Yeah, put it down. I want to encourage you, put it down. Just wasting time, energy, resources. God will do more with you even in a storm if your faith is rising than your fear rising. Just faithful. Faithful. I got a card this morning from Miss Donna. That lady, I tell you what. Before they pave another road in Fort Mill, they should pay Miss Donna to ride out on the front.